Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jerosalyn and Tanea.
Although we've come to the end of the road.
Just a season.
End of the road.
Can't let go.
Can't let go, baby.
It's a natural. You belong to me.
I belong to you.
Can we just shout out Boyz II Men and Wanya? What's his name?
Wanya Morris and his kids, yeah. I can say good too.
Yeah, the kids, like.
Yeah, four of them boys. And they
all
together.
Can sing. And I need
and
them.
And the daughter can sing too.
Oh my goodness. It's just like, I expect nothing less, but it's the way he trained them. Like their voices are magical, but he's your dad. You have no
yes.
choice.
Yes, so, but the mom is the manager. So mama.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
She's like, no, this is mama.
I have always loved his voice, and End of the Road is just one of those songs that it puts it at the forefront. You cannot deny that boy can sing. That boy good.
But it's beautiful.
Yes. Welcome back to We Watch Too Much TV, Season 4, Episode 15, Season Finale.
Yes.
Because I'm still pregnant. Literally.
Still pregnant.
Yes. In the hashtag still pregnant, and literally in the final stretch, because I went to the hospital this morning and they were, you know, they're like, okay, girl, you in labor, but you're not in active labor. So you go finish the rest of your labor until you get to active labor. You do that at home and then you come back, but we'll see you soon. So I know my moms who have given birth can relate. They know exactly where I'm at with it, but I still have energy, thank God. And so I wanted to do this last show because I've still been watching TV now, because that's how much I love my television. Okay? That's what's been getting me through these contractions and distractions. Okay?
That is it. The only thing you got to do is, like, we're going to watch TV and make ourselves, like, no. Like, what else can you do? It's so much to absorb. So much.
Exactamundo. So, just over here taking in content, working through these contractions. Manifesting blessings and abundance for my baby.
Period.
Dot. But definitely thank you guys for tuning in, sticking with us throughout season 4. Continue to stick with us as we enjoy our summer, and we'll be back with season 5 this fall. But in the meantime, in between time, just follow us at We Watch Too Much TV, T-E-A letter V. Like and subscribe, rate and review on whatever streaming platform that you are listening to us on. We love the love. How you been, best friend?
You know what? Moving and grooving, watching TV, but still watching TV. My next, like, 4 weekends are booked, and I tell people, like, please don't think like I'm being like funny or facetious when I say I have to put it in my calendar. Like, when I tell people, like, no, I can't hang out. I have something to do. Like, I'm sorry that I'm a vibe and everyone wants to hang out with me. I'm sorry.
Okay. Sorry, not sorry.
But it's beautiful. Like I said, like, the summer is summering. I don't care what anybody says. I've lived in almost every state. There's never a summer like a New York summer ever, ever, ever in life.
Oh, my gosh. Never.
And it is just the beginning. So, like I said, it's still our month. It's still Pride. We got 2 more weekends left, which are fully booked. And every time I'm like, oh, I get this day to rest. Here goes somebody. You want to go here? You want to meet me at this barbecue? You want to meet me at this party? So while my best friend is doing the beautiful work for me and the Lord by bringing life into this world, I am at a bar taking a shot at 3.
Yes. Yes, because that's the kind of friends we are. Okay.
You know, I love it. I was just literally bragging to one of my coworkers. Like, I love the balance I have in my life, because when I want the settledness, I'm going to call my married best friend. I'm going to call my other bestie for her daughter. When I want that calmness, my other friend's birthday is today. She's married with a husband and I got her little son. I get that. And then when I don't want that, I'm going to call my gay friend. I'm like, let's go, we outside.
It's such a good balance. Like, there's like, you have it all. You have it all.
It's best believe. All the kids going to love their cool Auntie Nene when I'm going to be like, I write this your first drink, okay? Just don't tell your parents.
And they're 22.
Okay. You go to the island, it's 18. But it's all right. Let me not do this to these kids. Let me not do this
to Thank you. But yeah, so yeah, my weekend has been just exactly what it is. So I'd rather hear about yours. But yeah, we've been watching TV, taking back shots, Tanea. Yes. Getting through contractions, Jerozlyn. And now let's get into what we made time to watch on our tubes. The tubes. In our weekly grab. All right, best friend, what's first on your list?
Well, I've just been in a documentary mood lately. So first on my list is the documentary Bratz, which was directed by Andrew McCarthy. And it's crazy because children have been kind of rewatching White Collar on Netflix, and he was just on the season I finished. And so, yes, he's from the Brat Pack in the 80s and Pretty in Pink, but I'm like, Vincent Adler, because that's who he was in the show.
Oh.
But yeah, it was really actually beautiful. So we're a little bit younger than the Brat Pack people, if you will. So they were like early 80s. It was this phenomenon of just young Hollywood heartthrobs and like their journey into just what quote unquote was the Brat Pack. But the way he did it, and it was so beautiful, was he got as many of them as he could. So you got Emilio Estefez, AKA, you know, the Ducks, the Mighty Ducks coach. He got Demi Moore, and he got John Cryer. And then he got, I think, Rob Lowe.
You didn't get Judd Nelson?
Nope.
Judd Nelson
wouldn't do it. So it's crazy because this reporter who was 29 wrote up, he really liked Emilio Estefan, and he went on like an interview with him and Judd, and they were calm, they were cool. And he was like writing an article, didn't have a name for it. Went out to dinner with friends, and they had a lot of food, and somebody called them the Fat Pack. So he decided to give all like the hottest actors out there the Brat Pack, not knowing that it tore some of these people's lives apart. Molly Ringwald didn't want to do it, which is like the big it girl. She didn't want to do it. Judd Nelson didn't want to do it because they had this negative connotation, like, no, this is not who we are. We were labeled brats. We were in our early 20s. Like, it wasn't fair, blah, blah, blah. And that's how Andrew McCarthy, the main guy, felt. But he wanted to kind of, he was like, I'm 60 and I just want to kind of go through this. As he started talking to people, the way the documentary was made changed because it went from this thing that like, I can't believe I did this. I hate that I have this name. To this thing that you're proud of. Even Rob Lowe was that like, there's so many people who became who they are after they saw a movie or they realized something, like we're a part of people's history. And it's something that we can't ever change. It's something that we can't ever take back. And it's iconic. Even Demi Moore was like, I own it. It doesn't own me anymore. And so you see how everyone who was a part of it, they kind of stopped letting this thing get to them. And then he interviews the guy who wrote the article. And the guy's like, I really didn't mean no harm. Like, I didn't mean you guys were actual brats. Like, I wanted to give you guys a moniker. And he was like, and believe it or not, it stuck. Like, near 40 years later, you making a thing about the Brat Pack. It stuck. So it stuck. So the guy was like, I apologize if it hurt y'all, because it's still people that they hate that name. Wow. But he's like, it wasn't intentional, but it was literally reflective. And I think it made me who y'all are. And, you know, I'm not trying to say that it wasn't good or bad, but I take credit for that. He said, if I wouldn't have gave this group of, because then they started getting the movie premieres and they started doing interviews. He right. said, like, the day after he did that article, they were on Phil Donahue, which was like the Oprah back then.
Right.
They all people that they said were the Brat Pack. So it just was really beautiful to see these people, like, just change their mindset and do interviews about it. And now I want to watch, only seen one Brat Pack movie, The Breakfast Club. I've never seen the other ones, but now I want to watch it because that documentary was really good. So kudos to you, Andrew McCarthy.
Well, and so was Anthony Michael Hall in it or no?
No, he wasn't. That's what I'm saying. He wasn't officially a Brat Pack. They had clips of him, but the only people they showed that were official Brat Pack people that said yes was Andrew McCarthy, John Cryer. He was like adjacent, not really. Rob Lowe, Demi Moore, and Emilio Estefan. Molly Ringwald didn't want to do it. They said Judd.
Ali Sheedy?
Oh, Ali Sheedy did it. Yes, Ali Sheedy did it. She did it. She did it. Oh. She was the one who asked him, did Molly do it? And he was like, no, I can't get it. She was like, I'm not surprised. And Judd Nelson was hilarious because he was like off the face of the earth, living in some like house in the middle of nowhere. And I think he only had a phone call with him, but he didn't like tape it. So like there's some people who like, I don't want to be known with that. But I hope that they watch this documentary and change their mind. Because it just was so beautiful seeing how, like, he was so angry and he just wanted to run away from it. But then he started to embrace the beauty that it was and how there's so many people who were like, I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for this movie or St. Elmo's Fire or...
Well, so as you can see, best friend, I am a Brat Pack connoisseur.
Yes.
So this documentary, I will watch it. I had intended to. I didn't know it was made by Andrew McCarthy because this is, I had watched a documentary on the Brat Pack on VH1 when I was a kid. So I've grown up already aware of them, even though it was before our time. Like their movies were coming out like before and then around the time we were born. Breakfast Club is a classic. Everyone needs to watch it. It's just like such a coming of age story. And it really takes you back to being in high school and the beauty of, and then just overall, the messaging is the beauty of our differences. So great film. But then, yeah, then when you get into their overall library of work during that time, each of them singularly, because like the Brat, it's not like there's a Brat Pack movie, right? Like I would say the Breakfast Club is the only film where there's a good majority of them together on one cast. Now you have to, the rest is just, they're single films, right? Like watching Demi Moore films from the 80s and Andrew McCarthy films and Anthony Michael Hall films and Judd Nelson films. So, and Molly Ringwald was at the top of the list because it was 16 Candles. It was, golly,
They made like three movies, like St. Elmo's Fire, Pretty in Pink, 16 Candles, where at least two or three of them were in it. So they were like, okay,
it was a different time. And like I said, we were too young to have been there to remember if that term, the Brat Pack, had such a negative connotation. But as far as I know, it never did. I think, so I'm just more surprised that some of them still have this idea of like, I don't want to be known as that. And it's just like, known as what? Like, you guys were the 80s version of the Rat Pack. And then the term brat, bro, like freaking Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra were called rats, the Rat Pack. That was the original term of it. So it generated from the Rat Pack. Now you said the guy went to dinner with his friends and then they called themselves the Fat Pack. It's still generating from the Rat Pack. And if they were fine being the Rat Pack in the 50s and 60s, why are you so offended by being known as the Brat Pack in the 80s? Because you guys were just young and famous. I think what I'm getting from it is that they were more so bothered by all the fame and the press that they were receiving at such a young, pivotal time in their lives when they're going through these changes and then you got to deal with all these cameras in your face. But I never knew of them for being like, shoot, I would think some of them, maybe some of them had bad press at times, like maybe a Judd Nelson, maybe a Rob Lowe, because he, you know, when as he was getting older, he got caught up in some scandals. But that wasn't the case for all of them. And, you know, and again, for Rob Lowe to be up in it and he was the one who had the biggest scandals, then what are you guys talking about? It's coming off like, you guys think you're too good when, I mean, I could kind of understand that from Judd Nelson because it was like, one, he was already older. So he started getting like really good roles going into the 90s and stuff and 2000s. But girl, Molly Ringwald, like your career faded out after the 80s. And I can remember she made a guest appearance in, what was it? Not Another Teen Movie, where she poked fun at those 80s Brat Pack films. You know, because that's what Not Another Teen Movie was about. Mm-hmm. So I just, you know, I guess, but like you said, I do hope that they watch it and kind of change their minds around what it means to be a member of the Rat Pack. Because as far as I've always known, it's just been iconic. So nobody is.
Yeah, now it is. But I think what they were saying was when they were 21, 22-year-olds and they were wanted to be serious actors, they weren't Demi Moore. She was Demi Moore of the Rat Pack. So when it first came out, what they were saying was they had this pigeonhole. They were not seen. It took them a long time to go to rehab, to do these other things, because they were this thing that they were in this pack and they were rich and they were young. And so you see it kind of changed the mindset. So they weren't really upset. But I know Molly Ringwald said she kind of just wants to leave it in the past. So a lot of them just have different feelings.
That's just hilarious because it's like Demi Moore, when it was like, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to do the movie Striptease. I'm going to do G.I. Jane. And I'm going to really break away from this by getting these serious roles. Anthony Michael Hall buffed himself up, was in Edward Scissorhands. He was in so many other movies over, you know, throughout the rest of the course of his career. And then you got Molly Ringwald, like I said, who, girl, what did you do after? Like, is it because of that, that it like messed with her to where she was just like, I don't even want to try to break that stigma. And now I just want to be out of Hollywood, which is unfortunate because there was so much potential there for you to continue your career and break that Brat Pack image because your peers did. But I guess.
Mm. I guess. Mm. Very sweet, nonetheless, and I really, really liked it. So I'm going to watch all
nostalgia.
No, yes.
Of a more innocent time.
Yes. So, what is first on your weekly grab?
So, sorry guys, I'm pregnant. I'm eating. First on my weekly grab is called House of Heat. This is a 2024 Brat Pack. it is a group of content creators, child. First of all, the show is hilarious. It's on Tubi. It's a house full of content creators living together to make content, get ideas, and grow their following. Most of them are OnlyFans models. So, you know, you already know what's it entailing. Some do lingerie. Some are just only underwear models. And then there's like two couples, one gay, one straight, that, you know, they put it out there. So they having sex and stuff. But with them all being influencers with large followings and making a lot of money from their content creation, you have a whole house full of egos and attitudes that, of course, it makes for a very interesting dynamic. For one, the heterosexual couple, the girl's name is Ava, and the boyfriend, he's Italian. His name is slipping my tongue right now. But the girl is doing the most. Like, she's already definitely like the villain of the house, and she's totally fine with that. She's just starting shit with everyone. Then you have one guy who's a model, Chase. He was actually on the Netflix show Too Hot to Handle. So you can kind of see how he definitely has an ego. And then Ava is just picking at him every chance she gets. So he gets annoyed. Like, he's throwing like drama fits. Like, I'm going to leave the house. And then when they go out, he'll invite his little LA friends because he's super LA. Mm. Nobody likes his friends because they're fake. And one of his friends is like a clout chaser. But he has a crush on another girl who does OnlyFans, Jade. She's just a lingerie model. So it's just like a lot of in-house drama. And so they premiered the first three episodes last week on Tubi. And I binged them all in like a day. It was really good. So I'm waiting for the next episode because you could tell it's just heating up and it's going to be like more altercations, because again, everybody thinks that they're the shit.
And I feel like they just went on OnlyFans, paid for a subscription, and was like, who wants to be on this show? Like,
right, yeah, because especially because it's the first season, so I'm sure it wasn't as easy to get people, depending on it. Because again, like, what I'm getting from these people is like they like attention. Clearly, they like attention. They want more exposure because it's only going to get them more subscribers. And they make money. Like, these people are freaking millionaires. And they tell you how much money they make. You see how much money they make from just going live on OnlyFans for like an hour. One girl made like $1,500 from going live for an hour, acting like, you know, like basically lesbian pandering. You get what? That? Yeah. Like, her and a girl, because they'll be like, yeah, we're going to do content together. And all that means is them coming together and playing gay and showing like their little cheeks or whatever, not even doing anything, not even really kissing, not doing much, just kind of lightly touching each other. And you got a whole bunch of perverts on the platform that are sending them tips. And they're like, oh, if you want us to take our shirt off, send us a tip. And then people will send a tip. Then the gay couple does it. And so you see them playing or whatever. Because I would say the majority, clearly the majority of the fan base on OnlyFans are men, gay and straight. Because even with the heterosexual couple, a lot of the boyfriend, I think his name is Louis, a lot of his followers are gay men. So he admits to gay pandering to satisfy his followers, but he's not gay. And he feels very uncomfortable doing the things that he'll do. Even Chase, you see Chase at one point take a picture with like a flower in his ass for his followers, because most of his followers are gay men. And so they're paying them. Chase will go live for an hour, just taking back shots of like, he playing a roulette game where it'll be like, oh, I'll do this. I'll take off my shirt. I'll take off my pants. And he gets, he, like I said, they'll make like $1,000 for an hour, like an hour work. So if they did that every day, imagine how much they're making. And then people are paying them for things and stuff. So yeah, they're making millions a year. Just, and again, some of them are not like, there's only two couples. I think the gay couple, they do have sex, but that heterosexual couple, because this girl, Ava, she talks, it's like her insecurities are so loud because she talks about sex all the time. She talks about how
good she can talk about, like, that's it.
Exactly. Like, she talks about how good she is at giving head. And it's just like, girl, like, okay, we get it. Like, you're not like, relax, you know, like you're doing the most, but you could tell she just like wants attention, but it's also coming from a place of like insecurity. Like, who hurt your feelings when you were younger, you know? But it's an interesting show, very interesting dynamic. And I'm locked in because I have never watched a Tubi show or anything. So yeah, I'm
in. Girl, Tubi. We love Tubi. I can't wait for Hoochie Daddy season two. You already know.
Right. It's yes, because it's like it's showing like, okay, if they had a success with Hoochie Daddies, now they're trying House of Heat. So it's like it's like they're finding their lane on the reality TV side within their own niche, which I like. I don't try to be like everybody else. Do your own thing.
Keep it free.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
What's next on your weekly grab?
Next on my weekly grab is another great documentary, but it also made me very angry. It's called Tell Them You Love Me. And it tells the story of Derek Johnson, or DJ. He is the youngest son born in New Jersey to a Black mom and an older brother. He's 40, so when he was born he had cerebral palsy, severe like mental just like disability in terms of he couldn't speak, he couldn't talk. But this was in the early 80s, late 70s, so it was just kind of like the husband left, so the mom did everything she could. The older brother started getting into school, he started learning about like helping his brother, meets a professor at Rutgers whose mom does work with the mentally disabled and those with cerebral palsy and different disabilities. He asks her, like, do you know where I could get my brother help from? She's like, oh yeah, this place would be too expensive, but my mom used to do it, I could start helping him out. So she starts helping him, and he goes from like not talking at all to using like a board and to forming full sentences. He's doing speeches all around the like country. Only Black guy. All these white kids with a cerebral palsy, they're nonverbal, they have different abilities. He's all there giving them a speech, like, now I have a voice, now I can talk, whatever. It's getting closer to the she's getting closer to him. The mother and the brother are grateful. This bitch says that he's in love with her. Says that she's gonna leave her husband for him, has sex with this guy or sexually assault him.
Oh,
twice. Then has the nerve to go to the house and tries to tell the parents, you're treating him like a little boy. He wants to be a man. He wants to live by himself. Also, she could get him alone and start changing him, because the mother and the brother started noticing old white lady tried to overstep her boundaries. Race would not be important if it wasn't for the situation. I think race is extremely important for the way she demonized this family, the way she preyed on them, the way she made it seem like this Black guy needed her help. Her mother did the same thing. They gave like birds of a feather flock together. Now, she was married, to a Black man in the midst of getting a divorce. So I feel like me not being, you know, this is a disclaimer. I never went to school for mental health, but I feel like her relationship with her husband wasn't working and she found someone that she could control because she was controlling his facilitating text board. So whatever she said, he said, he can't say she ain't say it. He can't talk. He had the mental capacity of a four-year-old. He's in his 30s. And she had sex with him twice. And the way you see her talking about this man is like it's you and your husband. The way you see her, like, we were in love and he cares about me. This motherfucker can't talk. He can't talk. He can barely walk. He doesn't know what's going on.
Oh, no.
And so she goes to the family like, look, I want to be with your son. The mother and the brother is like, no, this is crazy. They end up getting the school involved. They get the cops involved. She gets sentenced, of course, appeals it, then gets like set free. Sis still don't think she did anything wrong. She's still convinced. In her head, in her brain, he really was typing those things, but they had an expert come in who tested him and was like, I'm not biased. I'm just an expert in like mental health, facilitating communication. That's what it's called when people are nonverbal and they try to type. He was like, I know people who are capable. He was like, he might understand what you're saying, but he doesn't have the mental capacity to understand what sex is. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. And then she done fucked his mental health up. The mother had to get him on medicine. And the way she like demonized this Black family made it seem like, I know what's best for him. He needs to live with me. And was like, I'll sign my name in blood. I'll leave my husband. Tries to make it seem like they only care because she was married. She had kids and everything. Then when they had to write the letters to the court, her husband was like, my wife is a narcissist and a pathological liar. Do what you want. Only person on her side is her mother, who also looked like she got issues. Cause she was the one who started helping the people. And she was like, well, I bought crutches when I was younger because my mother started helping disabled people. Like, no, that's something wrong.
Uh-uh. So,
like it's one thing to help those in need, but even if he is starting to get sexual, ask you questions or do things like that, that's not your job. That's you put him in somewhere who is someone like around, you have that conversation with his mother. Started overstepping her boundaries, and then the mother and the brother was like, no, that's not going, you know, that's not going to work. I don't think she would have did that to the little white fucking boy.
Yep.
I don't. And that's what makes me mad. This white woman wanted to be the white savior, and I hate to be so past so much like racial undertones, but it does.
No, because
one of the women in there, she's like one of the people who like they interviewed is a disabled woman who is like an advocate. She was like, it's about race. It's about ability and control, and then it's about guilt. So she was like, in her head, this woman probably really do believe he loved her. But she had to make up everything. He don't know how to write.
That's horrible.
It's just like,
I could tell that documentary would infuriate me.
Girl, and I'm not finished with her today, but listen, don't watch it. It's gonna make you angry and you're gonna get to that.
Oh yeah, no, I don't need that in my Juneteenth. It is. It is the second Black History Month, and I just don't got time to be infuriating myself with, here we go, with that white savior complex.
He loves her, and he wants to be with her, and she's never been, no, bitch, he don't know that, no. And she's convinced herself, and her dumbass mother looking, yeah, she's right, no.
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 And then, so you said the ex-husband said she's a narcissist.
The ex-husband, you know how to do victim statements. So the brother and the mother went to the stand. The brother read a letter. He was like, she is not no shero. She sexually assaulted my brother. She made it seem like she was helping, but she wasn't. My brother's not going to be the same. And like, there's nothing we could do to take this back. She is not a good person. And then the judge was like, we got a victim impact statement from the soon to be ex-husband of the defendant. And she, all I heard was, quote, my wife is a narcissist and a pathological liar. She has messed up this family completely. Whatever y'all gotta do, do to her.
Mm.
Only person on her side was her mother, who looked a little weird too.
Like, so her mother. Nothing happened to her?
She was sentenced to 24 years. She appealed it and only served 2 years because the judge in the first trial wouldn't let them submit the typewriter. And then when she appealed it, the people who did her appeal, they said, well, we need the typewriter. So they she appealed it. They gave her a new trial and she pled to like a lesser charge. But she only did fucking 2 years in jail and it came out. Went right back to home. But she can't really go nowhere. She got to work because nobody, her name, she can't teach.
Right.
So she was a waitress, she said, and then she got fired because people started like coming to the restaurant complaining. So she do something from home. She's not no teacher. Looked like she still live with her mother. Her mother works in schools, is loose too. But that woman made me very, very mad. And I'm not done with her today.
Right.
Okay.
Well, it sounds like a good documentary though.
Yes. Very, 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 very good. What's next thing you grab?
Next on my weekly grab is HGTV.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new show called Backed by the Bros. It is with the twin brothers known as the Property Brothers, Drew and Jonathan Scott. So we see them put their reputations, connections, and resources on the line as they relinquish total control of renovations and advise entrepreneurs, short-term rental owners, and residential developers on high-stakes investment properties. They're helping like everyday people with their investment properties and guiding them to make the best decision. Some people, so like they get to make, so you'll see them review two homes, right? All in LA. So they'll review two homes. And then by the end of the episode, they'll decide who they're going to actually help. Some people, they decide to pass on because it's just not worth the risk or their time. Like one couple, they could tell like, they don't really need our help. They just want to pick our brains because, you know, it's the Property Brothers. And so they end up agreeing to help someone that I think his house, he had a tenant building. It was only like 6 units. And one tenant was freaking smoking a cigarette that fell into the couch and it caused a big fire. So the property is like destroyed. And so he spent the last year not getting any money, no tenants, because he needs to remodel, but it's just so much money and he's in over his head. So the Property Brothers agreed to help him, you know? So you get to see that. And we see how they're able to bring out the full potential of pretty rundown properties throughout LA. But it really is the actual property owners doing it themselves, but they get the assistance from the Property Brothers because they'll give them access to their giant warehouse in LA where they have everything. Like, oh, you could, if you want to install these floors or these kind of doors or these doorknobs, and then their advice, you know, you can't just a word of advice from a master like one of them, it really helps. So the owners are still doing it themselves within their budget, but just with the assistance of an expert. And so it's, to me, I like the show. You're seeing different kind of properties and even just kind of how you can make an investment property, right? Whether it's a tenant building or a garage in your backyard that you turn into a tiny house or a room you're renting. There's just so many different options, but it's also based on your local laws. And then just, you know, kind of giving you that idea of investing in your home to bring in that little extra bit of cash flow as an entrepreneur. So, yep. Backed by the Bros on HGTV. You know, I love a home show.
And I love those bros. They're just really good.
Yeah.
TV, no matter what they do.
They really are. They really are.
Like, just charismatic. So, go bros.
Go bros. What's last on your weekly grab?
Last is a show that we watch every week, and this is the one show that even if I'm getting dressed, I'm not gonna miss it.
Right,
work from home Friday, so it works out. Like I'll watch it before my first meeting, and that's
exactly.
I'm gonna be watching my TV. Like, all right, Drag Race is on. So yes, this week's episode, it was the roast. I love the roast. I will say this was the first roast where like nobody was horrible. Like nobody had
right. Yes.
Nobody
yes.
was like, oh, you are horrible. Yes. I love things. I just really quickly wanted to shout out Vanjie. I'm sorry. I think Vanjie is hilarious. I was crying just because how her delivery is like, I said it. I just love Vanjie. And then I also wanted to shout out Plastique. I was just proud of my beautiful queen. Her skin is flawless, but I just was honestly just really proud that she handled it, how she handled it. So it was just a really good episode. You want to add anything?
Sorry. Yes, I do. My mic was on mute by accident. No, Vanjie actually was funny. She was naturally funny, and her voice just makes everything funnier. I like that joke she said about Roxy and her weight, and then everyone was like, ooh, she's like, it's a roast, bitch. Yes. So honestly, I agreed with one of the two top all-stars for the week. I honestly thought the best two were Chanel and Plastique. I was really disappointed because if you listen to the critiques, everyone agreed that Chanel actually did really well. She opened up the show, which was a bold move, and shined. And her runway look was like, to me, I was actually a little disappointed in Angeria's runway look because it looked like a knockoff of Chanel's look. Like it looks like the Temu version of Chanel's look. So now granted, I knew they didn't plan that, but it just happened that they kind of went with the similar idea of this Atomic Blonde, and Chanel crushed it on top of going first willingly because she wanted to stand out. And I felt like that was, if there was a chance for her to finally get a benefactress badge, that was her chance. And I just don't know why Rue robbed her of that and gave another one to Angeria. Not that I'm mad Angeria got it, because I also thought she was funny, but the runway look was just like, and even someone said it was like, you know, it was different for Angeria, but it wasn't like the best of the best. So come on now. I'm just disappointed Chanel didn't get that. I did think pretty much everyone did well, but at the roast, but just what really stood out to me. So now granted, no one did horribly, but I'll be honest. I like what got mixed performance. I didn't laugh. It was kind of like, huh. I didn't necessarily even realize I heard the jokes before, because y'all have heard me on here talk about how I love roast. I talked about the Tom Brady roast. I watch every roast, but you know, with roasts, I'm typically a one and done. So I don't rewatch them to recognize like a joke as soon as I hear it. Depending on how big the joke was, if it stands out to me. It wasn't until I went on social media to see that Gottmik literally plagiarized her entire bit from the comedian Nikki Glaser. Word for word. The only thing she would change is just who the joke was directed towards. Or like when she said, oh, Nina West, I loved you in Hairspray. And then whatever that punchline was, like she took that whole joke. It was just the only thing she changed was saying Hairspray instead of, you know, whatever, when Nikki Glaser said it to who she said it and said, that's the best you could do. So yeah, and then Gottmik's response to getting called out for stealing her entire bit from Nikki Glaser was like, oh girl, you didn't know we all reference other people's jokes. No baby, I don't know. A reference is a reference, but plagiarizing and copy and paste. And I'm still just thinking of like Roxy's jokes and Banji's jokes, even Angeria's jokes. They were so much more direct to said person. I can't really imagine how that was, even if it was referenced, like they made it still so original to who they were targeting it to and how they were going to direct deliver it. You really didn't do anything original. And so that's why now when I think back on it, I was like, oh, I wasn't even really laughing at hers. And now I can see why, because it wasn't original.
And you can tell it's not the same.
Right. I didn't know. I knew something was missing, but I just didn't know why. And then later I was like, oh, it's because she stole everything. And it's like, you didn't write it, girl. Like, just very, very, very disappointing.
And so we're talking 2024, y'all. We can't do stuff like that.
You know you're going to get called out. You know it. And then you're just going to stand 10 toes down on plagiarizing. Whack.com. So, yeah. Other than that, though, like I said, I just felt like Chanel got robbed, and I am hoping to see her get a benefactress badge in one of the upcoming episodes, because Chanel deserves. Okay? Chanel deserves.
Yeah, I can't have her go all season and not get at least one.
Yeah. And then just shout out to Roxy Andrews, because I had wanted to give her my yes last week. Because I just could already tell once she got that last badge, I was like, oh, they about to start hating on her. Mind you, Roxy had a slow start. And all of us that have been fans of the show since season one and can remember her first season, which was what, season 5, you just see the growth in Roxy this season. Like, she is no longer the mean girl. She's playing fair. She's being nice. She's being sisterly. Just bringing positivity to the space. And I just feel like, you know, some people kind of, even at that one point where Banji kind of just was like feeling a way about her and kind of threw her shade. I just feel like a lot of the negative that she's getting, even with the accidentally landing on Angeria and got Mick misplagiarism, making a big deal out of it. I just feel like, you know what? It's because she's doing something right. And I feel like Roxy naturally rose up the ranks towards the top spot. And she does. She has the talent. It's just like, it's undeniable, right? Because it's like she could turn a look and make it herself. She can rise to the occasion despite not being the funniest. So, you know, like she can still deliver in a runway despite maybe she's not a got Mick with the super high fashion. So I am here for Roxy. I'm here for her growth. And I love her and leave her alone. Point blank. Mm-hmm. Point blank, period. But yeah. All right. So that was last on your weekly grab.
Yes. What's last on yours?
So last on mine is actually a YouTube channel. We never talk about YouTube channels here, but it is television. So a YouTube channel I'm subscribed to, and I have been for some time, is Rajiv Surendra. You might know him best as Kevin G from Mean Girls. Do you remember Kevin G from Mean Girls?
Yes, the short guy with the hair.
He's the rap.
Yes.
Yes. So Kevin G is played by Rajiv Surendra, who in real life lives in, I would believe, Brooklyn, in a nice, just quaint apartment. And he is just all about that soft life to a T. Like, he is a soft life connoisseur. He is the Mr. Rogers of soft life. So each,
not the Mr. Rogers.
I'm telling you, each episode is different, but still tied into just lifestyle, home upgrading your life in just the most simplest of ways of like, here's how you should organize your books in your library. Here's how you should organize your storage closet. Here is how to get a stain out of your clothes. Like, here's what you could do with a soap dish. And y'all know I am obsessed with home content because in my mind, I am an interior designer. So watching his channel, one, it brings me peace. There are times I'll just fall asleep to it, and not because it's boring. It's just because it's so soothing and so relaxing. But also getting ideas of just how to enhance my home or get more organized, or not even that, like paint. He'll show you how to paint with acrylic in a certain kind of way, or handwriting, how to write hieroglyphs. Because even with each episode, whatever the title is, he writes it on a chalkboard with his beautiful cursive. He is amazing, this man, okay? He is a gem of soft living. And I literally, if no one has told him that I'm sure he gets a decent amount of views on his videos. So I'm not the only one who feels this way, but if ever he would hear this podcast, I hope he knows. Rajiv, I love you. Truly.
Rajiv, he loves you.
Yes. Yes. Because I know it's like people be like, oh, Kevin G. No, he's way beyond Kevin G. He is Rajiv. And he really deserves his own show on like HGTV because he is just that. Okay.
Oh, you get into the universe.
Okay. And that is that. Thank you. And thank you. So that's our weekly grab for this week. We actually have some fun little, well, not fun, but just some topics that we can kind of revisit as part of our special segment we sometimes do, Hot Topics.
Because sometimes it's really hot and you got to talk about it.
You know, like, period. So let's revisit the Kenya topic. Because now, you know, we were talking about if it was true or not, and you were wondering about the leaks. And so now we're finding out it was true. Bravo is not happy with the state of what has been going on while they're trying to film season 16. And now word on the street is that Kenya is suspended and potentially fired fired all over this alleged revenge porn that she showed at her Kenya Moore hair care event. So what are your thoughts, best friend? What do you think is this the future of Roa, and what was Kenya's role in it?
So did anybody who was actually at this event say, I saw this revenge porn, or is it just like the story?
Well, people who were at the event, because again, you can't really say what it was, right? They're filming, you're under contract or under NDA. You can't just put it out there. But what has been put out there from people that attended the event, it's clear that Kenya did something so shocking that it gagged everyone, and in a disturbing way. And then the reports confirming, and again, these reports are from E! News. They're from Page Six. They're from People confirming that Kenya is suspended. It is stemming from her showing explicit imagery that was under investigation by producers at her event. So while she tried to say, she tried after it was initially announced and before, you know, investigation was announced, she was like, believe less of what you see and what you hear, whatever, whatever. It's actually coming out like, no, you, now it wasn't so much that she, the what people are saying, it wasn't so much that she showed images that hadn't been seen before. These were images that you could find online if you want to dig deep into Brittany Edie, whatever, and her sexcapades. But still, for Kenya to print these out on a poster board and bring it to her event and show it during filming, that's something that's never been done before, and they're taking it serious.
Yeah, because I just feel like, Kenya, you could have did something funny or meme. You didn't have to show that.
Mm-hmm.
You just didn't have to. There was, like, you are Kenya Moore. You didn't have to do that.
Right.
I just feel like it's just such a, like, why? But I think this is also to my point. Now I know that I'm going to make sure I watch, because hindsight is 2020. So not, because I've seen she's been doing lives and stuff and try to explain her side. And apparently the other girls, you know, are on her side. So it's just hard to have an opinion if you don't really know. But
right.
I don't think she's necessarily fire. I think she's good for the show. So I don't know what that's going
to
do.
I would really hope, because to me, if they fire her, to me, it's over. Like, at this point, you're going to need to reboot the whole cast, because it's like she is a big pinnacle of the show post Nene. And she is, I would say she's crucial. Because now you got to look at the cast without her. And it's Portia, who with cease and desist can barely talk about the shit we want to hear her talk about. Drew, we already know she can't carry a show. Cynthia's only just a friend, and even not, like, she can't carry. Come on.
And none of these new girls, so we don't know anything.
None of it, right. So it's like, you know, I would hope that these rumors of her potentially being fired are false, but if they are true, then fire everybody and just reboot the whole cast, take a break and you know, a couple of years and give it a full, fresh, new look, because it's done. It's done. But I did believe the rumors from the beginning. I will be completely honest. I have never been a Kenya fan only until she got her heart broken by Mark. That was the only time I was on her side. And that's honestly the only time we've seen a different Kenya, because she got her ass humbled with Karma, right? Like, she's always been a menace from her start on the show. She picks on every new person on the show. Her and Portia came on the show at the same time, but Portia was just a friend and she was full time, and you could tell she was intimidated by Portia and she was picking on Portia. Then Kim Fields, then the Demetria, it didn't matter who was the new person at the time, Portia picks, so much so that she's the reason you can't bring like accessories or props to a reunion, because she antagonized Portia so much at that one reunion that Portia bopped her ass and dragged her and it got physical. Kenya has always been nasty, so nasty, so rude, in the words of Nene Leakes. And I'm just not surprised that now when the ball is in her court, because of now it's like, you know, she's like the HBIC, right? Like all other oldies are the, you know, Candy's gone, Sheree's gone. It's her and Portia, who again, like I said, they started at the same time. So, and then now we're seeing they're all friendly cuckoo. So Kenya's, she forgot her place. And she's just thinking like, oh, I run it now. And I'm going to show that you suck penis. Like, and nobody else sucks penis. What was the point of even printing that out? And it's just disgusting and it's low, but is it beyond Kenya? No. I just think she took how low that she's gotten in the past to a new level. And yeah, now it hurt herself. So yeah, if she ruined the show, I'll be really upset at her, but I am hoping that there's some kind of way that they could salvage this because I still love Roa and I don't want to see it just dissipate, you know? It's only...
So you think like either she stays and they see what it is or like they just start all over, but without her, yep. Like, and adding one more person, they gotta start from scratch.
Yeah, it's over. Cause it's just like, it's done. You have to reboot the whole thing just like you're doing with New York. Because what are you going to do? You're going to now try to revolve the show around Portia, who I love Portia too, but let's be real. She's also another liability. And if you start making her feel like, first of all, look at what y'all did with NeNe. Because we all love NeNe and the show hasn't been the same without her. But they let her get her ego too big and made her feel too powerful by giving her too much. You know, some of these people, like they already are coming on the show with egos and personality disorders and ailments and things. So it's like some of them you have to keep them humble. Like Portia was very humble in the beginning. But over the years, you know, her ego has gotten bigger. And when she had that short-lived spinoff and was getting physical, she gets physical too much. So I just don't know if you ever want to give her the position of like knowing that the show revolves around her and she's the HBIC. Because I just don't know how that's going to go.
Because once Portia got them boobs, I knew her head was too big, but I digress.
Right. No, you know what it is. So, yeah. So I don't know. I would just think that. And then again, remember last week we were saying it was starting to feel a little too Love and Hip Hop-y because it's just like, even with the newbies they selected, it was just like, really? And it's crazy because there's so much. I know so far what we see a lot of times coming out of Atlanta with the reality shows. You are seeing the so-and-so's ex-wife, so-and-so's baby mama. Like, you know, and it's just like, that's crazy because there's so much more quality of Black women in Atlanta that would gladly do the show. You do have the housewives. You do have the entrepreneurs. You do have even the preacher's wives or the preachers and the ministers and the motivational speakers. You have all kinds of entrepreneurs and Black women in Atlanta. Why are y'all not finding them? Like, it's just, yeah, it's unfortunate, but that's the word on the street. And I don't know. I think Kenya might have to get herself humble real quick, more than what happened with her and Mark. Mark Daly. All right.
Let us pray.
Let us pray for Kenya and Brooklyn. And then our next and last topic is a new reality TV mashup competition show coming to Hulu called Got to Get Out. The format will showcase participants living in a mansion for 10 days as they vie for a cash prize that increases by $1 each second they're in the game. As contestants compete in physical and mental challenges, more money will be added to the pot with up to $1 million at stake. Upon completing the series, participants will be given the chance to take an equal share of prize money, or they can attempt to steal it all for themselves. To steal the pot, they'll have to escape the mansion via its front gate. But in this game, getting out is easier said than done. So far, the cast members that have been announced are Cynthia Bailey and Kim Zolciak from The Real Housewives of Atlanta and Spencer Pratt from The Hills, right? Yeah.
Yes.
And then allegedly NeNe was offered a role on the show and declined. So what are your thoughts on this new mashup? What are your thoughts on this new era of celebrity mashup competition shows? And will you be watching?
I just think that these shows are funny because it kind of gives you like an inkling of who like is anybody they would call and like who is rare, but they're looking for something new. I think right. There's so much reality TV that it's so easy to do these mashup now because every channel, every subscriber has some type of reality show. So I do like the diversity. This show can sound kind of stupid, but I'm going to watch it because I don't wish bad upon nobody. Let me just say that. But I just think it's funny how desperate Kim is. If you want to keep like the housewives going, like Kenya will never be a Kim. Like, Kenya will never, like, sell, like, things for, like, clickbait. Like, Kim is just so desperate for money, but in her situation, she should be. I'm just interested in seeing the show, but I'm just like, okay, I don't think we need any more mashup shows. I feel like this is, like, our third one. We have The Goat, which I lost just after a couple episodes. The villain one is the most, like, original one because they are picking people who usually fight. This one, we got to see. I'll keep an open mind. But it's like, okay, I don't want no more mashups. All right, three's a crowd. Like, that's it. Like,
yeah. I think they'll start to give it a break if they see it's not being really received well. I still like The Goat, but really my favorite part of The Goat is Taj.0. So, like, he is what, like, just brings joy to me watching that show because he literally is hilarious. I love seeing him host that show because he's just so funny. But yeah, it's getting redundant with all of the You got Traitors, you got House of Villains.
I forgot about Traitors. Okay, so yeah, we don't need this one. It's Hidden Gem. We don't need this one. We do not need this show. We need to keep Traitors, Goat.
Only if they make it different, right? Because it's like they have, to me, I've always felt like Survivor, Big Brother, Amazing Race, they're all like kind of the same, but they're different in their concept of how they're doing these challenges and competing and such or whatever. So if, and the challenge, forgot to mention that one. So it's like, there can be room for everyone as long as there's an audience for it. So I'm the type that I love these shows because especially like you're seeing reality stars that you haven't seen in some time, you're catching up with them and even seeing them in a new way, right? Because now, oftentimes when they were on their reality show, they have a persona or something that they're putting, you know, trying to represent themselves as. But now you're seeing them really have to be more of themselves because nobody cares. Nobody cares about that persona you had when you was on Housewives or Big Brother or The Bachelor. Like, you know, are you competing to win this money? And now you also have to petition to get people to like you so they don't vote you out. So that's
I never thought there would be a place in America where Johnny Bananas and Tanisha from Bad Girls Club would be best friends. So exactly. That just does bring you good energy because those are my favorite like duo. I love them. I could watch a show with just them too, honestly.
Right. Then you now have new villains, right? Like I never thought I would dislike. First of all, I didn't even really ever remember Devon from The Challenge or Big Brother, whatever she was on. I never really remembered who she is, but now I remember her because I don't like her. I don't like what she did to my girl, Alyssa Edwards. And even just in general, right? On The Goat. Like she just turned the game so messy, but also that's her gameplay, right? So it's like, it just gives you a new sense of, you know, even when you think of like Celebrity Big Brother and how we were so disappointed in Todrick and we wouldn't have gotten to see that side of Todrick if it wasn't something based around a celebrity mashup show.
Which, honestly,
I think that's where they got the concept from, the success of Celebrity Big Brother. I think that's what started these spinoffs of the reality TV mashups. So yeah, I'm not so opposed to it. And I would like to catch up with Kim Zolciak. I've been wanting her to come back to Roa, to be honest. But she got a lot going on. So I don't know if she could put all that on the show. But you know, you can, with the celebrity mashup shows, they can share only but so much of what they want to share because also that's not what it's about. It's not Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, which I missed that show, by the way, also.
We don't know what's going on with that show. They got a whole season they can't even air.
I know. But honestly, I just feel like this year has just sucked for Bravo. And yeah, it is what it is.
Let's just send them some good energy in this season.
Yeah,
I think revamp, redo. But I think, you know, what I'm learning is sometimes you got to take some time off, figure stuff out and come back better than ever. So I hope they get it together.
Yep. Because they see now there's more. You got Tubi. Okay. You got Amazon Prime. People coming with their own reality content to compete. So Bravo, you don't have that. You people are trying to come for your spot. So keep it hot. But all right. We've been nice. It's time to get a little naughty. And drag people as part of our piss poor performance. on your list, best friend?
My piss poor is just a continuation of today. It goes to Marjorie Anna Stubblefield, which is that white bitch's name from the documentary I was talking about.
God, what's the documentary called again?
Tell Them You Love Me. It made me so annoyed. She has this delusional ass face the whole time. She swears she did nothing wrong, but you are evil and you know what's wrong with the world. I wish you nothing but nothing good, because the audacity for you to convince yourself that this guy who can't even speak, can't even talk, can't even walk, is in love with you, and that your white old ass is so special that you will be the first woman he sees and that's who he wants. It's the audacity. I'm mad, and you fucked up his mental health for the rest of his life, okay? Fuck her. Who you pissing on?
Listen, I'm not upset with you, but I can assure you that this is why I'm not watching it. Because I hear the anger and how infuriated you are. The passion of your fury in your voice.
And I better not fetch out of Walmart out here. I promise you I'm throwing eggs at her.
Right. So I'm with you. I'm with you. My piss poor is going to everybody on Real Housewives of New Jersey minus Teresa. Okay, now here's the thing, and I just want to put this disclaimer out here before I start. Okay, I am not a tree hugger. Okay, I kind of am, because I do love Teresa. I love what she's brought to the show as an OG and being a real person from the beginning. I have so much reverence for Teresa, Vicky Gunvalson, and NeNe Leakes. Like, they really made Housewives what it is today. And they were what made it the essence of just bringing reality to reality TV. It's gotten away from that over the last decade, but shout outs to them for just bringing that original essence of it. However, over the years, I have always called out when Teresa was wrong, when mm-hmm. she was wrong with Melissa picking at her, and Melissa's just married to your brother. I can defend Melissa in that regard, even though I don't like Melissa. When Teresa had issues with Jackie Goldschneider, I felt like she was being extremely petty in that beef. And I was team Jackie in that regard. So I'm not a tree hugger. I can always say when Teresa's wrong. But I'm talking about the simple fact that we have people, the cast is split, right? You got like Melissa, Marjorie. Her name is Margaret. I'm sorry. Melissa, Margaret. Now you got the newbie, Danielle Fuda, her husband. They all are anti-Teresa, trying to act like they're so above her, all of this, especially with, you know, Melissa and Joe. Joe, that is his sister, his only sibling, by the way, not just his sister. Their late parents only had two kids, Teresa and Joe, and they not speaking. So I know it's not helping their spirits rest in peace when their two kids aren't speaking. Right. And the early seasons show you how close they are as a family. They're Italian, very Italian. So it's like, you can't, you know, they value family. So for them to not be speaking, it's just crazy. But at the same time, you see the role that Melissa plays and all that. Then it was the build up last reunion. So now they're not speaking. But at the same time, you really see Teresa go episode after episode without even really mentioning them. But Melissa, who has never had a storyline, and I said that from day one, and was very conniving with how she got on the show through Teresa, talking crap about Teresa behind the scenes. She was trying to feed information to Danielle Staub. Danielle Ben aired that out. That's how she got on the show. Or Melissa was reaching out to producers, begging to be on the show, season two. Okay. So always looking to try to get all the shine that Teresa was getting. Got on the show. And so now, even as they're in this part of their life where they're not speaking, Melissa don't have nothing worth even listening to if it's not about Teresa. So even though she's
literally trying to- The only thing I know about her is that she got kids. And she don't like Teresa. That's
exactly.
It.
Exactly. And then she's legit trying to act like she's not interested in Teresa, but that's all she could talk about. She has nothing else to talk about. She has no storyline. Then Margaret, I've never liked Margaret. I'll be very honest with you. Like, I was not impressed with her coming on the show, kind of bragging about cheating on her husband with the contractor. And that's her current husband. Like, that's not admirable to me, my love. But now Margaret, again, no storyline, baby. The one thing she tried to use was the death of her ex-husband that she cheated on with Joe Benigno. So Margaret is a mean girl. Margaret has been behind a lot of the rumors about the Jackies and the Melissas that have gotten on the show, but Teresa will be the one to air it out. So then now Teresa becomes the bad guy of the season when Margaret is the one who put the rumor out there.
Mm.
So now we see her this last episode. She's mad at Jackie because now Jackie forgave Teresa. And granted, I'll admit, I do think that Jackie forgave Teresa so that she could start having more camera time. Because last season she was demoted as a friend. And you saw how it hurt her ego. But whatever, be that as it may, it is infuriating Margaret and Melissa. And it's just so tacky to see because it's like, y'all really are over here trying to conspire to take down the HBIC, the reason you got a job, the reason this show exists. If there's no Teresa, there's no Real Housewives of New Jersey. Now, I'm not saying everybody here got to kiss her ass, but I'm saying your obsession with her is so sickening and boring to watch. And Dolores, I'm so tired of your ass playing the middle. You have been boring from day one. I do love you. And I think you are gorgeous. I've met you in person. You are just even more gorgeous in person. But this middle part and not speaking up and shit, it's really fucking annoying. Jackie, she got caught talking about Dolores behind her back. She was mad because Dolores didn't tag her in the damn photo and called her a slob and said, I fucking hate her over a tag in a photo. So now we're starting to see. And then the only reason Dolores found out is because Margaret got mad at Jackie for telling her, you're just mad that I'm friends with Teresa now. And you can get over it. I'm done with this conversation. I walked away from her. So when Jackie walked away from her and Dolores went up to like, see what's, you know, are you okay? Margaret's like, and you know, I've always defended her, even when she was talking crap about you because you didn't tag her in the photo. And so then later, Dolores is now talking to Jackie. And so she brings it up. She's like, well, yeah, you were mad about the photo I didn't tag you in. But they were like getting over it. And in the middle of that conversation, Margaret saw that they were speaking. Margaret sends Dolores a screenshot of the text of what Jackie said about her.
Oh, wow.
Like how high school. And then because she doesn't want to get caught up in it, makes her husband show Dolores behind Jackie's back, like, check your phone. So then Dolores checks her phone. And that's how she reads the text message. And then she confronts Jackie about it. She's like, you called me a fucking slob. Yo,
that's the law. Damn, that's fighting words.
Right. And then also I'm dragging Jen Aiden because now we got the backstory. She's over here beefing with Danielle. And now we got the backstory why. And then Jen Aiden is just as bad as Margaret. Y'all messy as hell for a storyline because y'all ain't got no storyline. And it's getting played out. And now that we know the real reason of why her and Danielle, they had beef. It's about to get physical next week.
Uh-oh.
They had two physical altercations. That's why there's no reunion. It's between Melissa and Margaret not speaking to Teresa and don't want to be around each other. And the fact that Danielle and Jennifer Aiden had two physical altercations while filming. So it's just turned into a hot ass mess. But yeah, I think Jennifer Aiden is in the wrong and you just try to be too messy over nothing, over a storyline. And so I'm team Danielle on that one. So yeah, that's why everybody. Oh, and Louis, Teresa's husband, you're going to sit there and let John Fuda and his little tiny nose ass wife be yelling at Teresa and calling her wire fraud and all this. And you went to prison and all of that. And you just sat there and said nothing. So he Right. So everybody gets dragged except for Teresa on the Real Housewives of New Jersey. And that's my piss poor. Catching my pregnant breath. Losing my breath over all this damn disappointment. But let's go into our yes segment. Who are you rooting for, best friend?
I am rooting for one of my favorite artists who definitely put a smile on my face after the negativity of that documentary I watched that made me so angry. And he's in New York this week. He actually has a show tomorrow and it's going to be at that Samsung place that you had your event at that you were. Yes, so I was like, maybe I'll go. We'll see. But Duran Bernard, I just want to say you are a gift from heaven. You are one of the best singers out there, period. You are good energy. And there was a Juneteenth like block party at the center, which is like the largest LGBTQ based community center. And it was just the most beautiful, diverse, just like experience where everybody was there. Anybody was there. My dog was there. And it was just so much fun. And he was the DJ, but also singing. So I just want to shout him out for just being good energy and being good vibes. You could be a Marjorie Lynn or you could be a Duran Bernard in life. Be a Duran Bernard.
Right. I love it. Save the music.
Yes.
my yes is going to Marlon Wayans. 2 weeks in a row, he's gotten our praise. I'm just shouting out Marlon Wayans for just sticking with his kids and showing support to the LGBTQ plus community. He posted up an image just in celebration of Pride Month. And even said, like, you know, I'm straight, but I love my peoples and I support y'all. And he got a lot of backlash. He actually lost like 1,000 followers because people are just sick and homophobic. And I guess him being hit with that reality really just lit a fire in his ass. And so he just started posting more photos from his photo shoot with the pride flag and the pride rainbow on a mask. And he was just telling everybody, kiss my ass. I love my, because he has a transgender son. And how you got time to have so much hate in your heart. And yeah, like this is, it's just sickening, you know, like it's 2024. How and why do you still have time to be homophobic? It makes absolutely no sense. And then even knowing that this is a man who is choosing to stick by his child. So it's like negate whether you're homophobic or not. Like, do you have kids? Yeah. Do you know what unconditional love really looks like, but it really means the hate that people have and can just spew out over something just about who someone chooses to love, who they love? What does that have to do with you? There's so much going on in this world that has so much more meaning and really impacts our day to day. Someone being gay don't have nothing to do with you. It doesn't affect you in any type of way. So to see the lengths that other people will go just to spread hate to someone who's trying to spread love, it just speaks volumes. So I just really commend Marlon Wayans for addressing that conversation, because especially it really gets swept under the rug in the Black community. Like, we don't talk enough about how some of these, the biggest homophobic people are Black and religious, and it's sickening and it really needs to stop. So shout out to Marlon Wayans and Kai, his son. Because, yeah, love is love and love wins. Boom, pass.
And E. Shantae, because before his son came out, his niece, his, sister's daughter, she's a comedian as well. Right. She came out. I think that was his first kind of exposure. But just shout out to people minding their business.
Yeah, because one person said something and he sent them a comment and said, shut up before I have my niece F you with her strap.
That's it. He sure did. And I liked it.
Oh my gosh. So yes, love wins. So now let's close it out, best friend. We're going to close out season 4. It's our season finale. With some positivity. What you got?
Thousands of candles can be lighted from a single candle, and the life of the candle will not be shortened. Happiness never decreases by being shared. Buddha.
He said lighted?
Happiness never decreases by being shared.
No, when you said thousands of candles can be lighted by one candle?
Yeah, he said lighted. I did not make that up. Thousands of candles can be lighted from a single candle. This is before
Webster's. Okay, listen, Buddha. Okay, well, my quote, as we close out, we have our first day of summer coming this week, the start of the summer season. It's the best time of the year. Who doesn't love summer? And I got my wish granted. I get to have a summer baby. Yay! I'm a winter baby. I always wanted a summer baby. So for everyone, as you go into this summer 2024, may this summer bring you sunshine that makes you glow. Smiles that never get old, breezes that kiss your face, waves that wash your worries away, and memories that never fade. And that is by ourmindfullife.com. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for sticking with us through season 4, our extended season, our first extended season. Remember to follow us at We Watch Too Much TV. That is TEA with the letter V. Like, subscribe, rate, and review on whatever platform that you stream us on, and continue to support and stay tuned because we will be back in the fall.
Watch TV in the meanwhile. Let us know if you're on to any new shows or anything that we put you on to. Let us know.
Yes. All right, everybody, enjoy your summer. Be positive and spread love. It's the Brooklyn way.
The best way.
Bye.
Love abundance and hair bundles, guys.
Yes, love abundance and hair bundles and baby bundles. That's what I'm going to be doing.
Baby brushes and hair.
Yes. All right. Bye, y'all.
Thanks.